What I'd like to do now is just think for a moment about why we as Christians should be involved in the care of creation. And I'm going to run you through some verses from the Bible, and hopefully they will appear on screen. I'll just have a quick look at Chris. Technology is misbehaving as ever. Always before the service you go, yeah, it's working perfectly, and then the service begins. Yeah. Earlier this week I was talking to someone who said that he thought, as Christians, our primary focus should be on sharing the gospel with others. He basically said there are plenty of people who are not Christians who are interested in caring for the environment or responding to racism or acting on poverty, but he said Christians are the only people who will share the gospel, therefore that should be our top priority. And I understand why he said that, and to some extent that makes sense. Except, I actually believe that we should be involved in the care of creation because it's part of the gospel. Because God is renewing his creation, and as Christians we are called to participate in God's work in the world and to join in with what God is doing. So if we are part of the gospel, then part of that is sharing creation. So rather than it being an either or, I'm saying I think it's integrated. And here from the Bible is why I think that's the case. Right at the start of the Bible is the story of creation. We're told in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If that's the beginning of the story, then the very end of the story comes in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, where it says this: "He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new." So at the beginning we have creation, and at the very end we have what's often called new creation. Which begs the question, how then is God making all things new? If that is what we have to look forward to at the end of time, how does that happen? And the answer that we're given is through the person of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15 it says this: "Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." So the process of making all things new begins with God raising Jesus from the dead. That is the first sign, the first promise, that that is what God will do for all of creation. And it's not just people that are being made new either, but actually in Romans 8 it says, "For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." So we've got Jesus who's raised from the dead. As Christians, when we become Christians, we receive that new life of Christ. But here we're told that the whole creation is waiting to be liberated from its bondage to decay. The fact that it's disintegrating, but that the reverse will happen. So all of creation, the people and the planet, are waiting for the new life of Christ. And so as Christians, we are part of bringing that new life to the world around us. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." So the risen Christ is like an image of the new creation. We, as Christians, are the new creation. And then at the end of Mark's Gospel, Jesus says to his followers, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Not just the word people that are chosen there, but the word creation. So as people who've received the new life of Christ, we are sent out into the world to be signs of that new life and to work with God in bringing that new life to both people and planet. So I think sometimes we assume that the idea of caring for the environment is somehow new and that it has emerged as we've become more aware of climate change. But actually I'm arguing that salvation has always been about the salvation of all things. It hasn't just been about the salvation of people, it's been about the salvation and the making new of everything, people and planet. In Colossians 1, it says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. All things have been created by him and for him. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So we're sort of saying the big picture is that God is putting everything right under Christ, who is the head. So I'm trying to say, I don't think looking after the natural world is a bolt-on. I think if you look at the whole story of Scripture, it is there from the beginning to the end. And when we talk about the gospel or salvation or God making all things new, it isn't just the human heart, it is everything. And for me, I think the death and the resurrection of Jesus is at the center of it all, because what God does when he raises Jesus from the dead is a picture of what God will do for us and for all things. And I find it very interesting that when Jesus is raised from the dead, he is not given a new replacement body. They don't say, that old one was ruined, so I'm going to give you a spanking new one. Actually, the wounds on Jesus' hands are still visible, and he is still recognizable to his followers. His body isn't discarded or replaced, it is renewed and transformed. So again, that is a picture of what God is doing with the natural, with the world. It's not that at the end of time, God will say, well, you lot have ruined this one, so I'm going to throw it away and give you a brand new one, so don't worry, you trash the old one. But actually, it's that sense of saying, just as Christ was raised, but his body was transformed, the world will be transformed and made new. And when Paul calls Jesus the first fruits, he's saying that that's what God's doing in the world. So if you imagine that when God's purpose in the world is like a seed that is planted, when it grows and bears fruit, it is like the risen Christ. So what is God doing in the world? God is bringing new life and transformation. And therefore, what should we be doing in the world? We should be joining in with that. We should also be bringing new life and transformation. Do you get that sort of sense that you can see that that creation theme is running through it? Or does that sound like, what has she been smoking this week? Oh, it's the smoking this week that you're all. So I'm saying when God raises Jesus from the dead, although Jesus has been killed, he is given the gift of new life and restored. That is a picture of what God is doing for the whole world. Salvation isn't just about us and me. It's about God restoring all things and making them new, which is why we have that promise in Revelation. At the end of time, he who is seated on the throne says, I am making everything new. That is what God is doing. God is in the business of renewing all things. And if we're Christians, our business is to join in with God and to renew all that there is. Yeah, if anybody's like actually knows about geography, you're probably going, hang on a minute, the proportions of that are not quite right. It's indicative. What I want to do now is just think about how we should be involved in care of creation. And what I don't mean by that is I'm not going to say you should do this, you shouldn't do this. I actually want to give you some principles to think about. And I want to make your brains just stretch a bit to think about. You could call it an ethical framework for how we live in the world. This is perfect. Do run all over the world. When we talk about God making all things new, another way of talking about that, some of the language we use in church, is we talk about God's kingdom coming on earth. That's another way of saying God is coming to make all things new, to make the world the way it is in his world. So I want to have a little think about what that actually means, because when you look at the Bible, there are some very conflicting statements about the kingdom of God. We're probably familiar with the idea. We say the kingdom of God is here and now, but it's yet to come. So you think, well, what do I do with it? Is the kingdom here or is the kingdom not here? Am I waiting for it? What am I doing? So I'm going to give you something to think about. Let's see, Peter, if I can give you the end of that piece of rope, you can be God. You are God's action in the world. You might have to step forward a little bit. I didn't do my measurements. And Margaret, if you hold the other end, you're humans. So in the Bible, when it talks about the kingdom of God, it says, on the one hand, it says God is bringing his kingdom in. God's going to establish his kingdom on earth. God will make all things right and new. But on the other hand, there are also some verses that say that we have a role in bringing God's kingdom. So the idea is, It's a bit of both. It is held in tension. So if you think, well, is it me or is it God? You're right. It is both. But the temptation when we think about the environment is, for example, if you drop this end of the rope, Margaret, you go, oh, well, I don't really need to do anything because God's going to make all things new anyway. So it's fine. You know, God will sort out the world in the end. I don't need to worry about it too much. There are parts of the church where that's the mentality. We don't have to do it because God will do it. This world will be replaced. If on the other hand, if you drop the rope, Peter, you think, well, actually, it's all on us. We have to solve all of the environmental problems in the world. If you're anything like me, you think, well, that's an impossible task. It just feels totally overwhelming and completely disempowering. So the idea is, as we think about the way God talks about his kingdom, it is about both our action as people and it's about God's action. So when we're thinking about the natural world, we have to hold on to the fact that God is bringing in his kingdom. He will establish his kingdom on earth. The natural world will be restored and made good and right. But we do have a part to play in that, because if we don't play our part, we're basically shirking our responsibility. It's both. But I can play my part in the hope that God will bring it to completion, and God does what God does, but also partners with us as humans to say, you're the sign of that on earth. People will know that I'm going to act because they see you acting. There are a few other tensions to share with you. So do you mind holding one end? Fantastic. And you get the present. Let's find someone. Edward, can you hold the future? Can you hold the rope as well? I tell you what, shall I give it to Nigel? Yeah, that's a yes. Nigel, you get the future. Great. So if you hold it nice and tight between you, same thing again. When we talk about the kingdom in the Bible, Jesus sort of says, you know, the kingdom is here. I'm here. The kingdom is present. It's come. But there's also this promise it will come in the future. So again, when we think about the natural world, yes, we hold on to the hope that it does feel, I see those images and I just think, this feels terrible. I do not know how this situation will be turned around. So I hold on to the hope that God is making all things new. I have a strong vision of the future when the world is set right. But if we don't see any of that in the present, I think that future vision becomes completely empty and actually shallow. So as Christians, we have to be demonstrating what God is going to do in the future, because the kingdom is here and now. And how can people have any confidence in God if they don't see the church taking action on climate change now? So do you see what I mean? How we need to hold it in tension. Two more. Mia, you get social and this end of the rope. And Petra, if I can ask you to have individual and the other end of the rope. Perfect. So again, when we talk about the kingdom of God, there's two things that are held in tension. One end of the spectrum is the fact that we can talk about our own individual lives in relation to the kingdom. So I can say, is Jesus my king? Am I part of the kingdom of God? Is my life being transformed because I'm in God's kingdom? They're all really good questions. I would call those, they're the human heart questions, you know. Where am I with God? But part of the kingdom of God is the transformation of society as well. It is not just about the individual being right with God. It is also about the transformation of the way that communities work and the interactions between nations. So when we think about climate change, the temptation, I think, is to say, well, I'm doing my bit. I'm doing my little bit over here. But I think we have to engage with the question, but do we see God's kingdom coming in society? Are we seeing society changed? And if not, do we need to engage a little bit more with this end of the spectrum of thinking, how am I taking action on behalf of whole communities? So I'm really aware at the moment that the way I live my life here is probably impacting a village in the global south where the sea levels are rising and their village will not exist in a few years' time. Quite honestly, I go to Sainsbury's and go, haven't I done well? I've bought recycled this and fair trade that. But I don't think I am engaging with really thinking about the societal, social impact of climate change. And that's something that's challenged me, because the two have got to be held in tension. And then my last two, Fran, thank you so much. Fran, you get the spirit. And Sonia, I'm going to give you matter, as in stuff. I should have called it spirit and stuff. And again, when the kingdom is talked about, it's talked about in spiritual terms, as in things that are invisible and of the spirit, but it's also talked about in practical, tangible, physical terms. So again, as Christians, we can think, am I right with God? Did I pray the prayer of confession? Have I been forgiven? Am I right? Do I have the right theology about the creation? I know God's the creator. I know he's asked us to steward it. I know he's making all things new. But we can have it right in the spiritual realm, in our head, be right with God. But if we are not expressing it in tangible, practical, physical ways, then again, how can we really be right in spirit if we're not expressing it in practical ways? And I think, again, it's easy for us to think, I know where Christians, what Christians believe about the environment, but when it comes to the challenge of, and how am I going to live that out if it's really costly, we've got to hold the two in tension. So I just wanted to do that, so you get this sort of sense of, when we're thinking about how to live in relation to climate change, the natural world, we've got all of these things that are aspects of the kingdom of God. How do I relate to it as an individual? What's my part? What action do I play as a human? Am I spiritually right with God? What action is taking in the present? What belief do I have about the future? How am I living? What do I believe God is doing? And how am I in relationship with people in other parts of the world? So there are no simple answers here. I'm not telling you, now go home and don't fly on holiday, because I'm afraid I'm flying on holiday in August. But I feel really convicted by God because of the social piece of, I might think it's okay I can carbon offset and plant some trees, but in my heart of hearts, I actually know that my life is impacting on communities in other parts of the world that I am a long way from. And I really need to kind of get on board with that and work out how I'm going to respond. And so that's why I've tried to sort of set it up so you get this sense of around the world, we've got all these different aspects to help us think about it. And I wonder, as you look at the circle, whether there's one where you think, yeah, maybe that's an area I need to think about. Perhaps you haven't been as confident in God's action and you think, I need to be confident in that vision of the future. Or equally, perhaps you're like, maybe I do need to think about my part in it and how I'm right with God. So have a little look at the words and think about for you where you feel there's a need to respond.